In Lebanon, the standoff between the army and Islamist militants outside the northern city of Tripoli has entered a second week. Negotiators say the militants of Fatah al-Islam have outlined a peace offer, but the deal falls short of government demands for a full surrender. Tensions also remain high in Beirut, where two people were killed and another wounded outside the international airport. There, soldiers shot at a car that failed to stop at a checkpoint. NPR's Deborah Amos reports from the Lebanese capital.
The television news plays quietly in the background as Saad Hariri, the top Sunni leader in the Lebanese parliament and the son of slain former Prime Minister Rafiq Hariri, keeps in touch with the army over the latest reports from Nahr al-Barad, the scene of the standoff in the north. Many militants of Fatah al-Islam have been killed in the fighting, but others have been arrested and questioned. Hariri says those interrogations confirm the clear link between the militants and neighboring Syria.
They are totally linked to the Syrian intelligence through phone calls they have made, through also confessions that they have made.
Hariri's future party heads the anti-Syrian bloc, which controls the government, and accuses Syria of trying to destabilize Lebanon. Syria denies those charges. But Hariri says the group of militants fighting the army crossed into Lebanon from Syria, and they've used heavy weapons to confront the army.
He's got with all these weapons and all these sophisticated explosives that can only come from a government. And they tell you who exactly in the government they have taken it from. You have the connection.
The backers and funders of Fatah al-Islam remain in dispute. The group's leader, Shakar al-Absi, was released early from a Syrian jail and then made his way to Lebanon. But in an interview released over the weekend, Absi said he was inspired by al-Qaeda. His followers include Sunni Muslim Arabs with experience fighting in Iraq. Political science professor Karim Makdisi says blaming Syria is the traditional position of the government, and he's not surprised about reported confessions from the militants.
No, it doesn't surprise me that they would say that they have transcripts. It would surprise me if they actually had transcripts. Then finally we would have something to be able to say, okay, look, these guys did it, so if they have the transcript, I would definitely suggest that they release it.
Fatah al-Islam declared itself more than 6 months ago, and its origins have been a subject of intense speculation here ever since. But for Makdisi, there's a bigger question. Evidence that foreign fighters were part of the group has been known for months, and he asks, where is this conflict heading? Is Lebanon going the way of Iraq?
And people are very, very frightened. And the question is that we need to know who brought them in so that we can hold them accountable.
The late-night bombs over the past week in Beirut's wealthy shopping district have shaken the capital. Most Lebanese consider their travels carefully now, trying to figure out if there's a pattern to predict the next attacks, says Luna Haj Ali, while she spends an afternoon out eating lunch at a mall.
Considering that the first bomb happened down the street from where I live, and the second bomb happened down the street from where I work, yes, I consider all the alternatives.
Our enemies are invisible, says Abir Ander. Her shop is close to one of the bomb sites. She sits alone in her store, occasionally checking a giant television screen across the mall for the latest news. But it's not just the bombings that cause her concern.
The Fatah al-Islam and the bombs also, yani both. We are so feeling bad what's going on.
As darkness falls in Beirut, the streets clear, and the army, in checkpoints around the city, take over the capital for the night. Deborah Amos, NPR News, Beirut.